Well, good morning. It's 3 minutes after 10, and we're in the county board chambers. This is the Flagler Board of County Commissioners. We have a special meeting today, but if you'd please rise with me and join me as we salute our flag. Please join me as we observe a moment of silence as we remember the good things in life and our first responders and our men and women in uniform. Thank you. Mr. Hadid, would you like to start the proceeding off, please, sir?
Good morning, Chair and members of the board.
Turn your mic on, please.
It is on. Am I coming through all right? Okay, there we go.
Whoa.
Just when you want it. Okay. That sounds all right, right? Okay, just get my spacing here. We're here on a special meeting to consider the bid protest that was filed by Communications International for our RFP concerning the emergency communications network system. You have been presented a number of materials. You've been presented with Communication International's formal protest, as well as Motorola response. Also have the county administrator's full consideration of those formal protests. Additionally, the county administrator considered the pre-formal protest letter sent by Communications International, which, by the way, also was responded to by Motorola. All of those are in the record. All of those have been furnished to you, have been furnished to the clerk, and the parties have all of those various documents. So the task at hand is for you to evaluate the county administrator's report, his findings, in the context of the protest that was made. You will note that the county administrator really his findings, I'm going to divide them into three groups, three convenient categories to make it clear. One is that he found the middle by, I'm going to call it CI, Communications International for short, and Motorola is actually Motorola Solutions, Inc., I think. I'm going to call them Motorola. So found that the submittal by Communications CI as being not legitimate because it transgressed the rules about anti-lobbying that were contained in the RFP, and also that it did not meet one of the minimum specifications set out by the RFP. But the administrator also went beyond that because those conclusions mean that their proposal should not be considered, which means that their bid protest should not be considered because of those two findings. But the administrator went beyond that into what I call the second category, where the administrator took the formal points of the protest from CI and addressed each one. And then the third category, the administrator took all of the other claims brought by CI in his pre-protest letter and addressed each of those. So what you essentially have in the county administrator's report to you, which, by the way, is called for by the purchasing policy, is that he has addressed all of the allegations that have been made in one form or another by CI relative to the tentative award of the project to Motorola. Now, per the last board meeting we had, you may recall that the board made a special finding that while it would consider the bid protest because of the urgency of getting the replacement system in place, that the amount of work that would have to be undertaken in order to do that, that it would proceed to go ahead and implement the various steps of the process to get an award in place, but yet pending the resolution of the bid protest. So as of right now, there is no written contract or written agreement with Motorola. Whether we go forward with that will depend upon what the board does today, whether it determines that the claims of CEI are justified in one form or another that will require a different outcome. That is going to be up to you. I do want to mention, of course, that, you know, this is a formal proceeding. It's, as you know, it's not a regular meeting. We're not having the normal things that are associated with a regular meeting. This is quasi-judicial in the sense that you have to judge this on the basis of the facts presented before you. And again, because it is quasi-judicial, you have to disclose if any of the parties, if any of the principals in any form have contacted you in connection with your consideration or this particular hearing. So at this time, I would like to ask Mr. Chair if you would go to each of the board members and determine if any of them have had any such contact that they need to be put, that need to be placed upon the record.
Gentlemen, this is a quasi-judicial issue. I'll poll each one of you. Mr. O'Brien, you received any?
No.
None.
None.
The chair has received none.
Okay, good. All right, so now, given what's been submitted, what I recommend the board to do as a process is that you would hear from the county administrator first. He'd go through his report, summarize it. You know, it's very detailed, so I don't think we should expect him to go through in a great detail because you have it, the parties have it. You may ask the county administrator any questions, get clarifications, and then once you've completed that, then I suggest that 15 minutes be accorded to Communications International to make their presentation. If you have questions as they're moving through their presentation, I would ask you to determine if you can defer your questions until the conclusion of their 15 minutes and then ask your questions. Now, if in the course of it you feel it's very important to interject that question because you need to understand something in order to follow the dialogue, then by all means, feel free to ask that question. But what we want to do essentially is try to give them 15 minutes of presentation time. Then when they're concluded, after that 15 minutes, the questions you may have of them, you can then ask, okay, the ones you've held back on. Then we'll ask Motorola, to come forward and give them the same 15 minutes, same protocol that we'll use, asking them any questions after their presentation that you might have. Then it would return to the county administrator to offer any clarifications or responses based on what's come up. And, of course, at that time, you're able to also ask the county administrator questions. And then when you've concluded that, when all of that's been concluded, then you can begin the deliberations among yourselves as to what you should do. Of course, during the entire time of that process, if you have any legal questions or any questions that I can answer for you that may aid you, please do not hesitate to ask me. And with that, we should be able to come to a deliberative conclusion at the end of all of that process. When there is a motion made, obviously, I know that you know this, but this is for the benefit of the public. Public comment will be asked for, but other than that, there will be no public comment or testimony or anything of that sort during this special quasi-judicial proceeding. So unless the board has any questions, that concludes my overview.
Commissioners, unless you have a comment or objection, I would choose to adopt Mr. Hadid's schedule. And we'll do Mr. Coffey first, then we'll do CI, then we'll do Motorola. And I do want to emphasize, if you have a question, we want to give them our 15 minutes to talk, but if you have a question, just let me know and we'll ask it during their pitch. That's okay with everybody, okay? All right, Mr. Coffey?
I have a question
Oops,
now.
Excuse me, Charlie.
I have a question now. Is information we had received prior at our other meeting, or is mine not?
No, this is what's been submitted since.
Since that time.
Yes,
okay.
Right.
But it was emailed to you, Mr. Erickson,
right,
so I believe on Thursday. I'm not.
Yeah, no, we have it.
Thursday.
Yeah, we have it. Okay, anything else, commissioners? Okay, Mr. Coffey, the floor is yours.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, board members. Let me go through briefly and do a point of clarification on the agenda item that's before you. It lists it as finding declaring Communication International proposal non-responsive. I declared them as non-responsive, which in our purchasing language in turn makes them non-legitimate for a bid protest. And also I disqualified them on a second item that also makes them non-legitimate. And then I found that their proposal wasn't the best overall value in terms of the RFP consideration. So point of clarification. Let me kind of walk you through in the role I filled. I think we have two very good firms. And you obviously have to pick one to implement your radio system. And it, I think it made for a tough decision overall from staff and everyone on the committee and in the process, even the consultant. Having said that, our job was to try and look at it in a fair and unbiased manner to the best of our ability, realizing that with human nature, there are always built-in biases that we don't even know we're always implementing or have. In reviewing the overall proposal, the appeal, protest, bid protest, and the rebuttals, I didn't get the sense overall that there was any type of bias or fairness issue put forth in the form of our staff. In fact, I would say it would probably have gone the other way because we've had a good relationship with CI and Harris, and we've worked together for many years. So I would think that if there were a bias or a tendency, it would be somebody that you know and have a relationship with. The two issues, let me talk about the two issues up front. So typically when we get a RFP in and we have multiple vendors applying for that RFP, if someone doesn't meet a standard, a base standard, minimum standard, especially as critical as emergency radio system, we would disqualify them up front and reject their bid outright and do no further consideration. As I stated in my response to you, I can only assume that because we only received two and because of our ongoing relationship that we indeed tried to consider them both. In my write-up, you will see where it was stated that potentially Motorola didn't follow the guidelines because they found a creative way to address that minimum standard. And I would argue the complete 180 degree opposite of that, and that's the purpose of an RFP is that you present standards and or problems and your respondents give you creative solutions to those problems, ways to tackle them. And that doesn't always equate apples to apples in the form of a bid. And I think my first paragraph, my introduction to my response really tries to lay out the difference between an RFP and bid. We clearly are not doing a bid here. We are clearly doing an RFP, and I tried to mention the different reasons why, the complexity, and you can see by the size of the proposals and the responses, even we had 265 pages we issued or more, and the respondents were thousands of pages that we had to evaluate and go through, and they were not exactly the same equipment. They were different types of ways of tackling redundancy as far as the base equipment even. But I will, let me talk about the two issues first. One is the non-responsive. So there was a standard there, and building penetration, you know, for board members that have been on for a while, we take a lot of criticism about school penetration and building penetration in your big box retailers, and we lose communication in certain areas of the county, et cetera. So we had a whole list of things at the outset of this project that we sought to solve. And recently, you've heard about the school shootings and the fact that that has played even a more important role. You've heard the sheriff talk about that and the fact that the deputy here recently, a recent incident in our county, the deputy couldn't be reached. They had to reach him by cell phone. So obviously, that is a critical issue. I found them non-responsive because they didn't meet that issue. They could have guaranteed they're going to meet it. They could have stated how they hope to meet it. They could have gave us four alternatives to meet it. And instead, they felt, they responded that they could meet it at an 80% level. Do I think technically they could have? Yes. But then you get into the reason you require an RFP and you get that and you have a deadline is you get those proposals in. It's not, oh, I heard what the other guy did. I could have done that, or I could have, would have, should have. It's what they did do and what we had to respond to. Is that a technicality? To a certain extent, yes, but it's a yes or no question. Either you said you're going to meet the standards or you said you're not going to meet the standards. In this case, the committee kept moving the proposal forward. And again, because we only had one other bidder, I believe, and because of our relationship with CI. But on the facts of the matter are the same in that they were non-responsive and non-legitimate. The second issue, and you have the RFP in front of you, a copy, I think, of some of the administrative sections. And I've included verbatim in my response, but if I were to refer you to, I believe it's probably going to be page, let's see here. I refer you to page 6 of the printed copy that you have in front of you. I references page 5 in my online version that I had. There's a no lobbying provision. Well, that provision is not only no lobbying, it's a no contact provision if you read on down. And if you look at the back, the bottom half of that paragraph, it specifically lists people and contacts not to make. It specifically lists during the entire procurement process, they're placed on notice. I learned about this after the bid protest, and I felt I had a duty to at least investigate that. The people contacted didn't know they were in the RFP. The sheriff had no idea. He was listed as a no-contact person in the RFP. The other party had no understanding that they were in the RFP as well. However, CI and Motorola both had that knowledge, and both were specifically advised to that at the mandatory meeting, and that issue was discussed. And in fact, we were being asked, can we lobby days as we were issuing the RFP, we were being requested, and we have email correspondence of that, and we said, no, the RFP is going out today or tomorrow, whatever, you cannot contact the commission or cannot contact board members. And we do this not, and let me just talk about the instances themselves. One, it seems like, was a longtime friend, and they went to church, and kids played together, and they actually worked together, served together. And the other one was a little different in that it was a post-conference. It's part of a conference every year. There's dinners, and you see these dinners at your FAC conference where you get invited out to a dinner by a vendor. And it's not always a hard sell. Sometimes it's just thank you or getting to know you, or it could be a variety of things. Unfortunately, we aren't at those kind of meetings, and the reason we put this kind of thing is so we don't have to investigate these issues, so we don't have to figure out was there a hard sell, soft sell, was some deal made that we don't know about. And I have no reason to believe, and I said this clearly in there, that I would not impugn the integrity of either one of the people, law enforcement involved, nor would I impugn the integrity of CI, because I don't believe anyone did anything nefariously or anything like that. I think it was a meeting, it was a dinner, it was a customary thing they do. However, it was incumbent among the proposers to follow those guidelines. They knew the guidelines, they knew the rules, and even if I say I don't think anything bad happened, I have no knowledge of that, but I believe in my heart of hearts that that's the case. Nonetheless, the rule is the rule. did I have any knowledge of Motorola doing the same thing? I mean, some of the same thing could have happened. The sheriff could have went to the Motorola dinner instead of a CI dinner, as I'm sure Motorola had these similar dinners. But just so happens that CI chose to host this dinner in the middle of this procurement process, unfortunately, or fortunately. Having said that, and that would be a disqualification according to what's listed in our RFP, and that would be also considered under purchasing policy 4.12 as non-legitimate and not entitled to a bid protest. Let's move on from there briefly, and I won't go through all those various issues. I will say that we tried to respond to each and every one of those as they presented them. Or framed them themselves. I will tell you that our bid process, is not perfect. But I will also tell you that I cannot find any intention, unintentionally or intentionally, any kind of methodology or process by which to make it unfair, unbiased. And I found that they essentially the reviewers. Basically had to make a decision, and they had to weigh the things as best they can. But there were distinct differences in the proposals, and in general, in my discussions with some of the committee members where I went back and talked to some or just trying to follow and review the video that was in question about testing, I could not find any intentional bias, but I could find that they felt the one party was overall more thorough, more detailed, offer a better overall value for the citizens of Flagler County. And I cannot always go and question the, as a protest reviewer, the mindset or the entirely the intent of those evaluators, and I've got to trust their judgment at some level. They are the folks in the field that are going to work on this equipment, going to use this equipment, have to implement this project, and I have to go by what they're telling me when they feel that this is the best overall value for the county, and this is why we should go down this road. So with that, essentially our recommendation or from county staff is to dismiss the protest as both non-legitimate because of non-responsiveness and disqualification. In addition, I would ask that it also be approved or awarded to Motorola based on the best overall value of the RFP proposal submitted. And thirdly, I would argue, and it's been presented, that time is of the essence. We have a schedule. We have an end date of when our equipment is our contractual equipment's done, our towers are done, as far as those contracts that are in place. So to prolong it could essentially put our communication system in jeopardy as far as the ability to have a viable system after a certain date. So I'll entertain any questions about my recommendation, any details you want to ask, or if you want to save those for later.
Commissioners, anything you want to ask?
Sure. With that last comment, are you suggesting that perhaps the present system could break down any day, any month?
No, I mean, it could, but any system could break down any day, and I'm not saying there's an urgent circumstance because of that. I'm saying our contract with CI runs to the end of September of 2019. We have tower contracts that expire in 2020, and those are all issues. And we are dealing with older equipment, but I will reiterate, CI has been great in standing by its product and keeping us minimally down. I think, and this is one of the things we fought earlier on, even when we were looking at the system, why we wish we had better coverage and why we wish we had better building penetration and stuff like that. Our time that we've been down as equipment has been probably less than 24 hours in 10 years. If I added it all up, and it's probably even less than that if I went back and really critically looked at it. So I'm not worried about any kind of maintenance between now and the end of our contract because, again, we have two credible, viable companies that are both have good equipment and both very supportive. So that's to me not the issue.
Yeah, our storm system comes up what, June?
Yeah, July 1st. Correct. But I'm more concerned about the timing because we are now proposing to deviate where we are. We aren't staying on our existing towers. We have to build towers. We have to implement equipment. We have to get end user equipment. We have to finalize financing, and we have to finalize contracts. All that stuff takes time. And there's a schedule right now. We have a couple month window of contingency for something to go wrong. Well, that can evaporate overnight with one issue at one site. And that's the urgency in order to stay on schedule and to follow through and have this replacement system in place ahead of these other critical milestone dates.
Is there a curve or training curve for any new system versus where we are right now?
The training curve will primarily occur with the IT staff, and but the end user, the training curve, I would expect to be minimal. But it's primarily going to be with IT. And the other thing you've got to do is you've got to replace all the radios in all the vehicles. So that's another whole window there. Besides, you think of handhelds, which obviously you can issue those out in a day, and people will be up to speed pretty quick. But you've got not only over hundreds of your vehicles, but you got hundreds of Palm Coast, Flagler Beach, Bonnell, you name it. And it's not just regular patrol vehicles, it's heavy equipment, public works vehicles, utility vehicles.
Well, you got to tie the hospitals into and stuff like that.
That's another component of this. We are also working with the school board, so now you have a new person that they may require a little bit more training, but you got all the school buses to install with new radios as well.
Thank you.
Okay. Anybody else? All right. Well, our first presenter will be CI, and as they come up, we'll give them 15 minutes to make a presentation. And if you excuse me for a minute, I want to get a glass of water.
Okay.
I could take one. Yeah. Coffee's terrible.
Hey, CI, if you're ready, we're ready. Make sure the mic's on and state your name and for the record.
Testing? Yeah, red, as long as the red light's on there, too.
Okay. Good morning. Chris Carmody on behalf of CI. I'm a shareholder at Gray Robinson Law Firm out of the Orlando office. One, thank you guys for being here. It is raining outside, so I don't feel as bad having you here for a special meeting, but I'm sure you had other Monday plans, so we appreciate you changing those for this opportunity to present our case. As Mr. Hadid and Mr. Coffey stated, we did file a protest. Previous to that, we filed an information, if you will, to alert the county of some concerns we noticed in the process, and we appreciate both Mr. Hadid and Mr. Coffey taking those under consideration. As stated by Mr. Coffey, he had 3 points on this particular agenda item that he wanted to cover. The alleged non-responsiveness of CI on this bid, or proposal, excuse me, and then a concern over lobbying with the Sheriff's Office, and then as well the general arguments we put forward in our protest. So I'll take those in those order, in that order. Regarding the non-responsive nature, I would submit to you, and I'll give you backup on that. We were very responsive. In fact, we satisfied all of the county's state law requirements to be responsiveness and responsible on this proposal. In your policy, it says, purchasing policy, responsive means substantially conforming with all material respects to the requirements and criteria set forth in the invitation. That's in your purchasing policy of the county. Further, in this particular RFP, on page 5 of the RFP, it states, definition of responsive and responsible for this proposal. Each proposal submittal shall be evaluated for conformance as responsive and responsible using the following criteria. A, proper submittal of all documentation as required by this proposal, responsive. And then for responsible, the greatest benefits to Flagler County, responsible. Under those two, we submitted all documentation. We filled in all the blanks. We put in everything. If anything, we're guilty of is just being honest, which we'll get into on whether we feel our competitors, Motorola, was necessarily honest on this particular issue. Now, Mr. Coffey talked about how, well, Motorola went above and beyond, and they shouldn't be penalized. We should be the ones because we gave an 80% score on this particular criteria. Well, let me read to you from that particular section of the RFP regarding 800 megahertz coverage. I'm going to hold it up so I can talk here. The contractor shall not assume for purposes of their system design, this particular part, that any waivers may be granted pertaining to the contour requirements, technical specification, limitations, and technical requirements of the Region 9 800 megahertz plan. However, there is a window here. The county reserves the right to consider alternative designs after contractor selection and contract. That means after we're done here today. After he signed the contract, your county manager, with potentially Motorola or potentially CI, then they can take in the alternative design. And Motorola, to their credit, gave several pages of waivers, which it says, any waivers shall not assume that any waivers may be granted. We followed the rules on this. The particular terms, and I don't want to get into technical specs, I can bring in my folks here from CI here that can go into it. The terms made it clear, no waivers. Follow the polygon contours that they put out there, which I'm going to admit I don't fully always understand. I've done my best. And over the weekend, as I was researching this, trying to get all the terminology, and I'm sending them emails and texts saying, what am I missing, guys? We didn't miss a minimum spec. I don't see any minimum spec in here. It says we shall address this polygon, which we did, and we gave an honest score, 80%. To this day, unless there's some document that's going to show up that's never been shown before, Motorola has yet to show what their honest score is on this. All they've said is, we're going to ask for this waiver, that waiver, and this waiver. And if it's granted, no problem. 95%. We don't know what their score is today. I think that's critical. Because what we say is they tried to get an advantage. They tried to have an apple to our orange. Your county manager is saying, no, we messed up. We didn't even hit the minimum specs. I would respectfully submit this is a non-issue. And I don't mean to be disrespectful to anyone. I just mean it very plainly. Under your rules, your policy, this actual RFP, responsiveness is clear. We submitted everything. Your staff obviously didn't see a concern until this became a protest issue. The only question is our score. And we got dinged for that score. And that's why we were, I believe, justifiably upset in our protest, saying, wait a second, we did what was asked. And our competitors went ahead and asked for a waiver, which clearly says you shall not assume can be given, and got a better score for it. And we can get into that later. Further, and I'll just read one more. Florida statute says responsive bid means a bid or proposal or reply submitted by a responsive and responsible vendor which conforms in all material respects to the solicitation. Our proposal, very lengthy, just like Motorola's, conforms in all material respects. This was never an issue. It is not an issue. And I respectfully submit that when you take a vote later, that you find that we were fully responsive. And that actual argument does not hold weight. And we can certainly answer questions on that later. The other issue on this is lobbying. Now, Mr. Coffey or Hadid, I forget, one of them read from your particular document, your lobbying policy. Now, what's important about this, and it's a more, I guess, for lack of better terms, prohibitive lobbying policy. Typically, as you see in most RFPs, I look at some of yours, it'd say, just don't talk about the lobbying. If I see you out in the street, just say, hey, nice to see you. I'm not going to talk to you about anything else. Got it. This one goes so far as to say, during the entire procurement process, All proposals and their subs, sub-consultants, or agents are hereby placed on notice that they are not to contact. That's key, because if we're going to hold everyone by the letter of the law, we've got to be careful on the wording on this. Not to contact any persons listed above for such purposes as holding meetings of introduction, et cetera, if they intend to submit. Any proposers contacting individuals mentioned here in violation of this warning may automatically be disqualified. So it's in May. You have the decision. But more important, it's not to contact. Now, I don't want to get into he said, sheriff said, or we said, or the manager said on this. All I can tell you is an invitation was given to the sheriff to attend a dinner during a sheriff's conference before this proposal was out. That was accepted before this proposal was out. Then a proposal came out with some very strong terms here. Under the policy and what the county manager is telling you, we wouldn't even be allowed to tell him not to come to the dinner, taking in a very strict ruling of you can't even talk to them if you see them. I would submit to you that the spirit of this, and actually the very black letter wording of this, is that I'm not to go reach out to you after this RFP's come out. I'm not to say, hey, chair or vice chair, what have you. I just want to come in and say hello. We won't talk about anything, but I want to say hello. That's clear violation, not to contact, not set a meeting. This meeting was set. No business was discussed, but again, I don't mean to get into the he said, she said, but I think if you ask the sheriff to come in here, they talk to you about this RFP. As was stated by the county, he didn't even know the RFP was out the street. That should tell you everything. No. I think this is not a violation. In fact, I feel very comfortable this is not a violation. By the letter of the law and by the spirit of the law. Your own manager said that he doesn't believe, based on his investigation, any wrongdoing occurred. There wasn't. And I would submit that under this reading, we didn't even violate. We did not contact after the RFP came out. We had a regularly scheduled dinner during, as you guys know, always happens during these conferences. Because if you take the manager's reading to the letter, we were disqualified by being your incumbent. I asked my guys, check your numbers. How many times have your staff been in contact with the sheriff's office or someone that covered under this just to deal with the system that you are currently the incumbent vendor on? Over 40 times since the RFP's come out. So under that reading, we can't even do our job. But I would respectfully submit that is not how you would want to read this. That's not how the manager would want to read this. To use common sense, to apply the letter of the law as it's meant to be. We never contacted anyone after the RFP was out. We held that dinner as it was, not to make it any worse than it already was. We were aware that there was a problem just having him there. We didn't want that situation to occur, but played by the rules as we best know best. Do not discuss it. Don't bring it up. Don't even act like it exists, which we did. So on that, I would submit to you, I would hope that and ask respectfully that you find there is not a lobbying prohibition. There's not a ban there. So I'm going to go ahead and quickly go point by point on some of the other terms there. And I would ask, if I have time, to reserve a minute or two for rebuttal, given that this will be our last chance after Motorola speaks in case anything comes up that we think we need to address. That being said, Mr. Coffey in his presentation focused on nothing intentional was done by staff. We don't think anything intentional was done either. We certainly didn't allege that. That, as you probably aware, doesn't necessarily have to be intentional for there to be a problem in the procurement process. There was a couple of issues we raised on this. One was the overall testing of our radios versus Motorola. There was a criteria that was published after basically after the protest began that talked about the criteria. And when you look at the videos, and I don't know if you've had a chance or not, it's clear they didn't follow the criteria. And we would submit, we don't want to get into how much they follow the criteria or not. They didn't follow the criteria. There was a clear, and I can read it for you if you want, or you can read it yourself. There's a clear breakdown of how you do the criteria to test to make sure it's apple to apples to apples. You test Motorola's, then you test CI's, and vice versa. Not do all of the tests for Motorola and do them all for CI and hope everyone remembers what happened. You do it in a very specific process. In his own letter, they acknowledged that it wasn't done to the T. For as many times as the manager in this RFP document talks about how this is a major radio purchase, biggest one ever, right, Flagler County. And for as much time as we want to focus on details of whether or not we had contact, you would think these kind of details would be important when we're talking about this here. This was not followed. And we would submit, when you look at the scoring, and it's in our protest letter, multiple times on the evaluator score sheet, they notice, well, the way the test was done, I tend to like Motorola. Here's the truth. We won't know until the test is done right whether CI or Motorola does better. But we won't know that until the test is done right. And we would ask you to direct staff to go back and redo this test. Do it to the T. Do it to every letter how you do it there so that there is no ambiguity, any question of, well, was someone given an advantage over others? There's a couple of instances where we feel very clearly our competitors were given an advantage. And again, nothing intentional. We don't think it was intentional. We just think it happened because of the way they deviated from the specs. That's a major factor. Now, the other factor regarding around this is we think it was a sunshine violation. You all, I'm sure, are aware of sunshine law and how it works. It doesn't require quorum. It requires more than two or more. This was not a notice meeting. And while, again, in the sheets of paper in Mr. Cockey mentioned his letter, they attempted to separate out the members, what was clear as day on the video was that all the members gathered at the same time. There were conversations, nonverbal and verbal, and we don't know what happened before or after the cameras came on. And again, we're not making any allegations. That's not the point. The minute the meeting happened that wasn't noticed and you had two or more people there over a purchasing decision which eventually would impact some proposer's fate, ours, it was a sunshine violation. Now, how do you fix that? You direct staff to go back and do it right. Make sure you follow the order of events. They all have scheduled different times. Or if they're all going to be there together, notice it. Allow us to be there. Allow Motorola to be there. It's solved. We're not asking you to go to Sunshine Jail. I say that tongue-in-cheek. We're not asking you to go pay a fine. Just have them fix it. This is a very simple process. And I know the manager said time is of the essence. They've moved this along pretty quickly so far. And that was only a month and a half ago this came out. Most RFPs take much longer to get going. This won't take long for them to redo the evaluation, to rescore both proposals and consistently look at that. Additionally, a few other points in our letter, and I don't want to go long here and respect our time. We do think that the testing, the way it was done, affected our score. It's noted in the score sheets, as we will note here. We point out that we were considerably cheaper. Even after the negotiation that's taken place, we're still considerably cheaper. And as in Mr. Coffey's letter multiple times, he said, it's an RFP, not a bid, and we don't disagree. But in this RFP, cost was weighted the heaviest. There's a reason for that. We think if you rescore those evaluations and rescore price to a more objective standard, i.e. the lowest gets the highest score and the next lowest gets the appropriated score, we believe we would rank higher. In closing, we do appreciate the relationship we've had. We appreciate Mr. Coffey and Mr. Adib looking this over. We respectfully submit that there was not a responsiveness issue. Under the Florida law, we feel very comfortable that this was a responsive bid. We don't think there was a lobbying issue. At first I thought, well, we're going to have to make it a spirit of law argument. And then I even looked at the plain reading of that. No, we did not contact after the RFP came out. We kept a regularly scheduled dinner. I don't pretend the optics of that is not convenient. We don't like that it was like that, but it was what it was, and we absolutely obeyed every letter of the law on that. And then additionally, we do think we have valid points of protest, both on the Sunshine Law issue, which is very concerning to us, and on the fact that test was not done properly. Perhaps if it was noticed and we had the sheet, we could have said something, hey, aren't you going to do it the way it was done? But we were never given the opportunity to be there. So with that, with a minute left, I will yield my time, hopefully with an opportunity to rebuttal if necessary, and of course answer any questions.
Thank you, Chris. Commissioners, do you have any questions for Mr. Carmody?
I don't at the moment.
Dave?
Nothing right now.
Hey? Dennis? Thank you, Chris. Well, you have a minute left. Motorola?
Good morning. Appreciate the opportunity to speak, and I don't think we'll need the full 15 minutes. Some of the things that are raised by the county administrator.
Please state.
Oh, I'm sorry, Matt Jackson, Brennan Mann Diamond, representing Motorola. A couple of things that are raised by the county administrator. We trust that they're better judges of those sorts of things. But I do want to comment with respect to the lobbying issue. Those rules are clear. The rules are pretty standard, and anytime you do these bids, I spent 6 years working in city government. I understand the serious nature of complying with sunshine laws and not violating the anti-lobbying rules that are established in bids like this. The meeting was canceled. Scheduled. I'm sure Chris is accurate about that. But once the RFP comes out, CI does know that this meeting would be in violation of the RFP, and it's their obligation to cancel the meeting. Arguing that they can't contact them to cancel it is somewhat disingenuous, we would argue. But again, that's an issue that Motorola really can't comment too much on, just because it's not. We knew the rules, we followed them, we obeyed them, and we didn't have those meetings. Do you want to comment first, really with respect to the responsiveness of the RFPs? It's a little understated to say that substantially complying is good enough, and that you can fix it afterwards. The RFP was clear. It required 95% coverage. Motorola is guaranteed that it will achieve 95% coverage. They've proposed a unique solution. I have the Motorola folks here to talk about some of the technical requirements because I, like Chris, am not qualified to make that. But they made specific proposals with respect to their ability to complete and comply with the RFP, and they're going to compete, and they're going to do that. They're contractually obligated to do it. The fact that CI is arguing that their 80% is close enough, it just really doesn't hold water. So I think this was a critical nature, the critical part of the RFP, and Motorola complied with it. The other thing I'd like to talk about is the Sunshine Law violation. Again, I mentioned earlier, I know how serious government officials take the Sunshine Law issues, and whenever that's brought up, it certainly raises eyebrows. But with respect to the testing that was done, which is the meeting that is in question based on the protest from CI, there's no official action taken. The evaluators were there. These are all the first responders. These are end users. They were there to watch it. CI and Motorola knew that the tests were going to take place. The RFP is very specific with respect to what they need to provide for those tests. Everybody knew when the tests were going to take place. If CI had a question about how those tests were going to take place, what the nature of those tests were going to be, they had an obligation pursuant to the RFP to ask those questions. In fact, it specifically states if you have a question with respect to how a test is going to be done or how the score is going to be calculated, you have an obligation to make that request to the county. The county provided multiple opportunities for the vendors to question that, and they didn't. Motorola and CI both knew that these things were going to be tested in high RF frequency settings. Basically, they're going to be loud. When you watch the videos and you listen to the recordings, one thing becomes clear. The county is consistent in terms of telling the evaluators that they're not supposed to have conversations about this. They repeatedly inform them that this is not appropriate for them to discuss, you know, the results of the test. They are supposed to independently grade these scores. When you listen to the recording of the final meeting, which both CI and Motorola did attend, it's clear they did that. When you watch the videos, they watched the testing. The testing was done identical for both sides. And again, the testing is the county listed that they were going to test them, and then they, you know, to argue that they didn't test them in the exact order, I think goes out the window when you see that they were tested exactly the same. And Motorola just performed better. That's what the evaluators determined. So I think the argument that that meeting somehow violated the Sunshine Law doesn't hold water. And I think the second part of that is there is a way, even if there was a Sunshine violation, which there wasn't, there is a simple way to test whether one is and whether or not that was the final decision. The fact that we're here today, the final decision rests here. You are the final decision makers. There was no official act taken. The evaluators scored it. They turned it over to the county. The county is now presented to you, and you have the obligation to determine what is in the best interest of the county. You are the final decision makers. When you look at some of the legal arguments that were presented there in the CI protest, they were arguing that as if the evaluators made the decision and that was the deal. We've been here three times now. Clearly, that was not the end of the road. This body has that responsibility. So we believe that there is no Sunshine Law violation, and the fact that we're here today indicates the same. Last thing I want to talk about, and I'll yield the rest of my time, because again, some of the things that were raised by the county administrator and the CI had addressed are really not in the purview of Motorola. Really, this question comes down to how the county went about this. They picked the people that are going to be using these systems. It's a critical system. Nobody's questioning that. Nobody's questioning, that Motorola or CI, this is what they do. But these are the folks that are actually going to be using these systems. They tested them identically. Their goal was not to say, hey, let's show favoritism here, let's do that here, let's... The goal was, which radio is going to allow me to communicate with the people I need to communicate in the time that they need to communicate with them. Motorola was scored higher. Even if you take CI's argument, even if you apply all of the changes that they want to retroactively make to the scoring system and award more points for cost and award less points to Motorola for this, they still don't overcome the fact that Motorola achieved a higher score on all five of the evaluator scores. It was unanimous. And even if you took in the light most favorable to CI, they still come out short. At best, they would win four or win one out of the five evaluations, and maybe then that would only be by a point. So I think the most important point that we would like to make here today, again, we can have a technical discussion. I'm just not qualified to do it. But these folks at the county, when you look at how they did this process, the folks that they used to conduct the evaluations, this is who you need to have making these decisions. And they made a decision, and it was unanimous. And I, from Motorola's standpoint, it's very difficult to go back and retroactively say, well, this one was cheaper, we should add more points here and take points here. That's a tough thing to do. You have to give some credibility to these end users. So we'll yield back the rest of our time. We're happy to answer any technical questions and happy to answer any legal questions that you have. But that's where we would leave it. These evaluators tested this thing fairly and came up with a unanimous decision that Motorola's response was most responsive and most complete.
Thank you, Matt. Appreciate it. Commissioners, have any questions for Matt before he leaves? Just a second. Any questions? Okay. Thank you, Matt. Okay. Open the board here. Do we have any discussion here or any questions for anybody?
I had a question of the five individuals that did constitute that committee, et cetera. Were a couple of those from Palm Coast? I don't recognize.
We had one individual from the sheriff's office, one individual from the city of Palm Coast, and three individuals from Flagler County.
Okay.
We had the fire chief, the IT director, and we had IT manager.
Thank you.
And it was these people. It was the chief and then Jared Shoup, right?
Right.
And Mr. Leary, Mr. Viscardi, and Commander Strobridge.
Correct. Okay, but and let me, if you, I can, rebut some of the things that were said very briefly.
Sure.
So let's talk about the responsiveness issue. I did not say in my response to you of the review of the protest that their submittal was disorganized, not a good submittal. That was not the criteria or the lens I was looking through. It was the minimum standards that we had set for the areas. And had Motorola submitted a proposal that just said we could go do this and we could go do this, I think the CI's attorney would be correct in saying that you could not qualify or give them credit for what ifs. I think what switched the proposers from the what if or the potential to get these things is that Motorola said, if we can't get those things, we are financially responsible to fix it at our cost. And I think that's what turned the not meeting the standard versus meeting the standard, is that they took responsibility that if for some reason they didn't get those additional approvals, they would have had to build additional towers, additional equipment, do other modifications at their expense. And I think that was the difference in meeting the standard or not, that claim. The contact issue, I would just say I did not, because we have an ongoing relationship with CI, I did not investigate or look at any normal course of business type interactions. That would have been foolhardy. That would have been 3 months worth of radio system, and we do have a lot of communications that the cities do. That would have not been, or if there were long-standing friendships where they go over each other's house and have dinner and lunch together all the time because they've been friends for 30 years, then it's a ongoing friendship. Now, if a friendship occurred and they hadn't seen each other 10 years, a long-lost friend, hey, buddy, how you doing now? I haven't seen you in 10 years. Yeah, that's maybe a little different, but just so you know, I tried to separate the RFP requirements and the letter of the law there versus routine business matters there. And, you know, whether contacting the sheriff to tell him, I'm sorry, sheriff, we couldn't bring you out to dinner this time, obviously that would not have been a violation. That would actually have been adherence, I would think, to the RFP versus a violation. Lastly, let's talk about testing just briefly. So what we have to remember is that the testing did not just include, in that category of technology, did not just include the end user equipment. It included towers, it included the equipment, on the, all the various equipment in the towers, the software, the approach they took in the overall system, including screens and all that. All that technology was part of that rating. It wasn't just the end user equipment. Aside from that, let's say we had done the tests. We put out an administrative process of how we were going to do it, and we changed the process. But let's say they were going to test it, and they dropped a phone, and they dropped another phone. The fact that they did it one group at a time and another group at a time wouldn't have stopped some of the things that occurred. It wouldn't have stopped the screen breaking or a part flying off. And I don't attribute that to anything except just happenstance. And I don't know how much it was weighted by the evaluators. But had you tested them together, that event still would have happened. You can't go back and change that fact that you see on the video. Had the water test been done at the same time, which, I mean, it was done at the same time. The testing occurred at different phases. The water in the mic that was perceived by the testers would have still happened. Again, it doesn't matter sequentially whether it was tested all together in one grouping or individually back to back. That is a matter of fact thing that could have would have still happened. I will also say that had the technology scoring, and again, it occurred much more than user equipment. Had we not even done that, or have we made them equal, as I said in my rebuttal, or response, to their proposal, not necessarily rebuttal, but they, had we equaled those numbers, and had we changed the scoring of the cost proposal to 22.5 Motorola 25 CI, you would have flipped one vote potentially on the scoring side. And so it still would have been 4-1 in favor of Motorola based on their overall proposal. So those were all the body of things that I did try to take in consideration. And so if we went back and did some of those things, I think you're still, or we threw out, not threw out, because I think that would advantage one proposer over another, but if we made them equal, so there is no advantage in that category, again, it makes no difference in the overall evaluation of the committee.
Commissioners, any questions?
Questions? Well, I have a question, but after the rebuttals are done.
Okay.
I had a question of Mr. Coffey. How soon before the bid or RFP went out did that supposed lobbying situation occur?
The lobbying criteria that's in the RFP is stronger than your purchasing manual, and it would have went out the day the RFP would have been issued, which would be January 11th.
Okay, but that's the time that CI's supposedly made talk to the sheriff?
The sheriff's conference, my understanding, I didn't put the exact date. I could go back and research it, but it was in February. The conference was in February. Clearly, it would have been 3 weeks to a month after the RFP went out.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Carmody, the mic is yours.
Thank you. I'll be brief, obviously. Quickly, on the lobbying thing, we really do feel like that's a bit of a misnomer, but I'll address some of what's brought up. To be clear, there was no inappropriate contact with the sheriff. We did not contact him after January 11th. The date of it was February 5th. I have this on my notes here of that dinner. On the Sunshine Law, to be clear, and I've got case law if anyone would like it, collective inquiry falls under Sunshine Law, not just the actual decision point. Of course, you guys are the final decision point, but Florida law and statutes have made clear for many years now that purchasing committees, those folks on those committees fall under the Sunshine, and they're governed by the same rules. Collective inquiries, including, I have a case if you need a copy, a selection committee rankings resulting from a meeting held in violation of the Sunshine Law are void ab initio. Inquiries or the actual decision to rank are subject to Sunshine Law, and that should not be overlooked. And then as well, we talked about the rankings and the scoring. They're right. If we just change price, nothing will change except the one proposal. But we would submit, if you did the testing the way it does, Motorola than Harris, Motorola than Harris, or in a different order, the scores would have been different on that. But we won't know. We won't know because we weren't in the room and the testing was not followed the way it was. We would submit that that evaluation committee, if it was done that proper way, would have had better scores for us and then coupled with those pricing scores. And the last one I do want to say, this issue on 80% in the RFP, if this is going to be an issue for you all, look at our response. Under that area, we say fully compliant, just like our friends from Motorola. The only difference is, in the actual chart where we give the score of what our system could handle now, we acknowledge it's 80%, and they say we're going to take a waiver, which, oh, by the way, the RFP says do not request waivers. We're going to take a waiver to get to our 95%. We said we'd be compliant. We say it, and they're fully compliant. We write the words. So we're not trying to be cute. We were just trying to be honest, and we believe we were fully responsive.
Thank you. Commissioners?
I have one question. Oh, did Mr. Hiddy want to say something first?
Yes, I'd like to bring Mr. Carmody back to the, because I'm listening to what he's saying, and I want to further understand his argument regarding the testing and the sunshine. It's true that certain parts of the procurement process is not subject to the sunshine law, correct?
Negotiations, and there's some other areas that are exempted.
Okay. And likewise, all the proceedings have to be recorded that occur within that procurement process. Is that correct? Where the evaluators get together?
Technically, if it's an open meeting and it's not a meeting that's required to be recorded, you don't have to record it. Standard, most counties and cities record these meetings, but only when a meeting is closed off, like i.e. proposals by various companies, vendors, that the statutes allow for you to close off that meeting, but you have to record it. So we can come back in and go, what'd they say, but afterwards. So we're not in there staring them down, making them uncomfortable, but go ahead.
Okay, but yeah, so but for this demonstration of the equipment, everything else was done in accordance with the Sunshine Law. That when it was required to be done in accordance with the Sunshine Law.
I'm not sure I follow the question. What do you mean was done in accordance?
Okay, well, first off, not every single little thing in the procurement process has to be done in accordance with the Sunshine Law, only certain aspects of it. As to all those aspects that were required to be done in accordance with the Sunshine Law, it was done, or do you contend that it was not done under the Sunshine Law? The rest of the process, yes or no, compliant with the Sunshine Law or not?
There was a meeting with members of the evaluation committee under the form that was given to us. There were separate times they would be there and then a time they were jointly going to be there. I can see an effort by the county to try and avoid conversations, but I would submit, again, that once you have the meeting, when it's not noticed, you've opened the door. The fact that the video shows the conversations, nonverbal and otherwise, were taking place, the door is wide open now.
I meant accepting the demonstration. Okay, so now we're at the issue. In other words, accepting the demonstration, you don't contend that any other part of the Sunshine Law was violated. That's what I'm getting. I want to narrow what it is you're claiming. Is it just the demonstration, what occurred at that demonstration of the equipment that transgressed, in your opinion, the Sunshine Law? Am I fairly understanding?
Demonstration's not the concern. It's the fact that you held the meeting without it being noticed, and you allowed two or more members of the purchasing committee to be there that eventually could lead to discussion.
I think what he's asking is, are you deeming, other than the issue you raised about that testing process and the sunshine, are you contending or contesting any other part of the process not meeting the Sunshine Law?
I am unaware of any other meetings that occurred that were not otherwise noticed or recorded.
Where they should have been.
Correct.
Noticed and recorded. Okay, now, this was a test that was called out in the RFP materials that your client received, and called out to both Motorola and Communications Inc. Or Communications International, right? Is that the name? Or whatever, CI. So there was an opportunity to inquire about that test and about being present, et cetera, for it. But there was no inquiry by either Motorola or CI.
The RFP asks for radios for testing. They say they acknowledge that the county may, uses the word may, doesn't say shall or will, says may test. It does not say if the consultant will test them. It doesn't say if it will be the consultant with evaluators present or whether the consultant will test them and give a report. It doesn't provide any of that. You're correct, though. No one did ask that I'm aware of, either CI or Motorola, to say, hey, what are you going to do with that? Or any other more technically legal correct request.
Well, the RFPs states very clearly that the county did reserve its right to test the end-user equipment in certain conditions. And it did state that part of the end-user, that the that each of the proposers would submit end-user equipment for testing, but there was not, in simulated environments, but there was not a request or an inquiry by either Motorola or CI concerning that testing, no questions concerning it, no request to be there, no request to look for the protocol that was going to be utilized by the county. That's true, correct?
There was no request for a testing that the county reserved a right to but did not expressly state that they would do in the RFP. We assume the county would provide notice of that under Sunshine.
Well, testing or demonstration is not a function when a technical group gets together to engage in a demonstration or testing. That is not something that is subject to the Sunshine Law.
I would respectfully disagree. Courts have held collective inquiries to fact find that falls under, which is essentially what this was. What is? Is there a case on point of a radio system test? I'm unaware of one, but it's first for everything.
Okay. I just wanted to get a clarification of his argument. I think you probably understand it better now with that dialogue.
Ms. Sullivan?
Right. And this, I just wanted to get this out before we go further from my own understanding. I do, and I think the other commissioners here really understand this is a very important decision we're going to make today. And just so I fully understand, I've gone through everything that's been provided to us, and I'm not a technical person. So my question is this to our attorney. What happens after our decision today? We say yes or we say no. If we say no, we don't agree to go forward, recommend the chairman go forward with the contract, what's the next steps? And then what are the next steps if we say yes, we do approve the contract, and we recommend the chairman go forward with the contract. Could you just, I'd just like a little background on that before we make, I make a final decision.
With either vote in either direction, then we're going to be, well, first off, if you uphold, let me do the simple, straightforward one. If you uphold the county administrator's findings, then part of that, whether it was made a part of the motion or whether I would want it to be a following motion, is for the board to vote to go forward with the contract with Motorola, to conclude that contract, authorize the chair to sign as approved, et cetera, what you would have done back when this was originally scheduled. Now, on the other hand, if you find that there was some problem with the process that warranted some sort of reconsideration or some action, then we would explore with you what are those particular things, or if the motion didn't reflect it, what were those particular things, and then we would figure out whether there was a curative process that we could engage in, the practicality of engaging in that curative process. There is another alternative, which is to go out again with an RFP request. That would be, you know, that's going to be in the judgment of the board, but I think that before we make that kind of decision, you would want to explore that with your staff about what that impact, what the impact of that is on the ability to move forward to get the a system determined, whether it be a CI or Motorola system, given the timelines. I might also, by the way, mention in that regard, it was something that wasn't stated by the administrator in his summary, is that we presently have leases with the towers that we operate our present equipment on. And every one of those leases has a provision that says, if you don't indicate to us by a certain date, this lease is going to renew for another XYZ period. And there are a number of these. So we've got to, there's a lot of disentanglements that have to be, a lot of steps that we have to go through in order to accommodate whatever system we're going to use. And so that raises the issue that if we're going to be going out again, what are the consequences of that? How can we do it? So those would essentially be the scenarios that you would face depending upon what your vote was.
I'm done.
Mr. McLaughlin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. A couple of concerns are deeply troubling, but before I get to that, I do want to commend staff for, you know, moving on this. We've been talking about it for years, and I know Mr. Coffey has felt the hot breath of the commission for all those years down the back of his neck on this issue, and it's played out, you know, concerns from municipalities, what are we doing about this, and so I get the speeding. My concern at this point is if we go forward, Mr. D, this might be a question for you, at least for an opinion. Should this go forward as recommended by staff today, my concern is this, that there will be a sunshine violation filed by this company, and that we could be cut right up short and back at square one. Is that a possibility? I'm not saying it's going to be. It seems to me to would be a kind of a, I'm feeling a little bit of scorched earth kind of thing going on here, but are we better off to go back, you know, notice a meeting, redo this evaluation, take the bids and reevaluate them from start? That, my concern is that a sunshine complaint would put us there.
Okay, if they were to file a complaint in court based on the sunshine law violation and they did prevail, then that would call into question, obviously, the procedure that you're using in terms of awarding the contract. The court would have the potential to essentially require that the process be redone. That's part of the range of remedies. Right now, this is a hypothetical. There's no way to know how a court, you know, would view all of these facts. One method, if the board has a hesitation on that issue because it's, you know, the lack of clarity, the lack of definitiveness, it could choose to have that portion, it could direct that portion of the activity to be redone. In other words, without calling for a complete reissuance of the bids, have asked the county to redo the testing, allow the vendors to be present. Of course, that is still an activity in which the vendors cannot participate, just like the, like,
right,
you know, they can't interfere directly. They're not commentators to the process as it goes along. There are certain entry points for them. So you would simply be replicating that activity in order to remove any issues related to the sunshine, and then the evaluators, I'm just thinking this through, the evaluation committee, it would have to be the same committee, would then score that portion of the criteria, and I believe it was called technology, I can't remember, technical approach. That was a certain category that had something like 20 points. I don't kind of remember. Okay, they're nodding yes. 20 points on the technical approach. So you would have them rescore that, and then you would combine that with their other scores.
That's the thing that I have, tasks 1 through 12. Is that what we're talking about? Is that the meeting? Am I looking at the correct page? Okay.
That's the test that would be done on a, quote, retest if the board wanted to go in that direction.
It seems to me that, you know, being a veteran, as with yourself, Mr. Adid, of, you know, accusations and defending yourself and where you can end up, I'm a little uneasy going forward and being halfway down the road to something and then sitting in a courtroom. The court said, stop everything, disqualify. I mean, you and I both know you don't know what you're going to get when you go into that hearing, what the arguments are, what the take's going to be, what the tack is going to be. I'm a little uneasy that issue having been raised in this meeting to go forward and expend any money, even though I know every member of this board knows that we need to get this thing done. Unfortunately, I'm uncomfortable, as you can probably guess. There's a question as to a potential violation here. I think it's incumbent upon us to go back, cross those T's and dot those I's, and remove any cloud that there might be. I think we could end up in a spot here down the road if we don't.
The context of my remarks to you,
yes, sir,
is my understanding about the county's need to move forward in an expedited fashion because of a lot of things that have to be done, not just by the selected vendor, but things that we would need to do and the sequencing of activities so that it could be brought on in an appropriate time frame, plus allow for, and I'm just using this phrase, a beta testing, you know, that transition to have that time between when it's coming in and when the other system goes out. So
right.
I'm taking that into account. If this were, I'm just making this example up, if this were an RFP for patrol cars and you had different, Ford came in, Chevy, Toyota, whoever came in, and you could afford the time on a rebid, let's just do it all over again. You don't have that kind of situation here. Now, that doesn't mean that the board can't explore that. That would not be me answering those questions. You would need to be talking to Craig about what would be the consequences if we went out on a complete.
So the only thing we're talking about repeating is this one step. That's what I'm hearing is where the cloud is. Could that be done in the next few days, Mr. Coffey? Could we assemble everybody and say, hey, there's a meeting on Wednesday, 3 o'clock. Let's come in and do this. We're going to stay till it's done. And then bring that right back to this board in a Friday meeting or something like that. I mean, I'm willing to do what it takes, and I think the other board members are. Everybody's very anxious to move this thing forward. Do you understand my concern? I'm trying not to be nitpicky, but that's a serious accusation. I take that kind of accusation very seriously, and I think you do too. And I think Mr. Adid has laid it out and narrowed it down in his brilliant way that he always operates for us, but I'd be willing to come back on Friday and make this decision on Friday if we could.
Well, I'd have to check on the timing, but we could definitely do the test again in a very expedient manner and then also set up a special meeting fairly quickly as well.
Would you be more comfortable if we just kind of cross that T and dot that I?
We'd be happy to do that because at the end of the day, you know, again, this equipment was in this category was more than just this equipment.
Right.
And at the end of the day, if we rated them all the same, it wouldn't have changed anything. But that's okay. In abundance of caution, we're willing to go back and
do that. I mean,
I'm only one board member. That's my feelings, and I wanted everyone to know how I felt.
We'll support whatever the board would.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. That would be something I'd be willing to make a motion for if there was a feel for that.
Mr. Bryant, give me that. I have a couple questions for Mr. Carmody. If you could come up, please. Did your client read and understand the RFP?
I believe so, yes.
Did they read the schedule of the testing and what each test was going to be? Did they read and understand that?
There was no schedule published in the RFP. That wasn't included in the RFP.
We
retained that after a public records request, after the fact.
Correct. And that's when I refer to in my response of an administrative proceeding, that's just how we hope to have done it. But that's why we didn't have any problem changing it, because that was just our basically instructions on how we wanted to do it administratively.
Okay. Thank you. When I read that, it seemed to me that there was no concern about a sunshine violation when I read the procedures that were going to be followed, because it very clearly says the people that are observing the tested may not discuss. And then it says that they will all be together when this testing's done. It says for 11 and 12. It says they will all be together.
At two of the tests. Two of the tests.
If you look at the schedule, and each guy is given 15 minutes, and I don't think you can do 1 through 10 in 15 minutes.
That's why we've altered the procedure. The procedure we use, it's administrative procedure. That's why we altered it. And we could have, forget what, you know, we decided on that administratively, or the committee did decide on that administratively. We could have just put it in the hands of law enforcement or fire folks, and they could have just used it for a week. And there would have been no procedures or anything other than say, tell us which piece of equipment you think is better, and rate those for us. And again, it was part of an overall rating in a category, and the ratings were approximately a point or 2 points apart. So they weren't one got 10 and one got 20. It was one got 17, one got 18. Some got exactly the same, and some were 2 points apart. So that's in my review, that's what some of the concerns. However, in an abundance of caution, if Commissioner McLaughlin feels it'd be better to remove that argument and go back and do that, we can go back and do that. I'm not sure it's going to change anything, but we are willing to do whatever the board directs, and we want to feel that we've given it the full fairness that we can, and dotted every I and crossed every T in our approach.
Well, did we make a mistake as a county by scheduling this testing for all members to be there present? Did we say to ourselves, well, that's not a sunshine violation, we have to worry about that, because we've cautioned them not to talk to each other?
Correct. Commissioner, for example, you guys attended a breakfast last week. I'm not sure that we advertised that as a public meeting. You took input, you listened to something that wasn't part of an RFP process, but it was issues that you will hear about or that you knew about, and it was open, you know, generally open to the public. Anyone can come and serve. I don't know if that's a good example, but I would say to you that not every time that you guys get together, and it may be training or whatnot, that we advertise as a public meeting and requiring sunshine.
Can I just add to that? Makes this different than the typical scenario where the question is posed, well, is it, as he was saying, was it a sunshine meeting when you guys got together? You know, when those questions come up, you have to look at what it is. You have to focus on what is that activity. This activity here was a demonstration or a test. Yes, they had to be there in order to participate in the demonstration and the test, or to actually see its results. Now remember now, the evaluators, not all the evaluators were performing the testing function. There were non-evaluators that were taking the end user equipment and using it, and they were able to witness it. So see, it was a witnessing rather than a meeting where they discussed. Now, according to the CI document that was filed, and I don't know the exact words that they used, but they stated that there was interaction among the evaluation committee members, contrary to, you know, what they were instructed. You know, you may not discuss with each other. You're here to observe this demonstration. Okay. Now, Mr. Coffey reviewed the video. For my own, I just wanted to know. I did question Mr. Shoup and Ms. Calera about, I haven't watched the video. Obviously, Motorola observed the video as well. And those sources, that is, Mr. Coffey's representation of his impressions of what had occurred in the video, Mr. Shoup, Ms. Calera's, and Motorola, all said the same thing about, well, there was no discussion or interaction. They were gestures. Somebody had trouble working one of the pieces of the equipment and so forth. So it was just the kinds of things that would happen in a normal demonstration or a test. Now, what's that testing service called? It's escaping my mind. But yeah, this wasn't Underwriters Laboratory conducting a test. I mean, that's not what it was. It was testing the equipment in the field under simulated conditions. That's exactly what it was, and it was disclosed in print that this test was going to be done, what the purpose of it was. Now, yes, there were words that, well, maybe, you know, it didn't exactly say they were going to do the test, but they did have to submit equipment. They had to submit end-user equipment for the demonstration. In fact, I remember, actually, I went and looked at it. The CI folks had a container, and it was marked demo equipment. Although I didn't need to see that or to have that, but it confirmed for me, and I'm trying to figure out, okay, what's going on here. They understood that there was equipment being submitted for demonstration, but yet no one asked, when is it going to happen? How is it going to be tested? What are the criteria? Who's going to do it? Is it going to be sent to Underwriters Laboratory? You know, how is it going to take place? Nobody inquired. And those familiar with the procurement process, and I can tell you many times in our procurement process, I mean, this is how I know this, is that bidders or potential vendors or proposers are not shy about asking questions. Please clarify this. Please tell me about that. Can we do this? Can we do that? And those questions are shared with everybody that's competing, and the response is written and is provided to everybody that's competing. So this is the normal experience that at least I have with the way procurements go, and I think that's common. But at least in Flagler, that's very common. So it was telling to me that neither of the proposers made any inquiry, and these are sophisticated proposers. We're not talking about, and I don't mean this in a pejorative way, but we're not talking about landscaping companies having to respond to technical specs and having the thought of, well, you know, I need to know exactly how they're going to score that. I need to ask that question. But these are very, and I respect these entities. I mean, look there. Those are the volumes. Those are their submittals there on the counter there. The two big ones, that's from Motorola, and the other one is from CI. So you know those are very technical. They expended a great deal of effort. So it was telling to me, important to me, because I saw the allegation, okay, was it clear that there was going to be a demonstration? And I felt that was clear, even though it didn't exactly say that we're going to do that test. All the implications of the words were, particularly submit the demo equipment, that there's going to be some kind of evaluation of the end user equipment. the end user equipment is central. If everything is technologically perfect up to the point of the end user equipment, but it doesn't work in the real world, then all this investment you've made is for naught, right? There's a failure of that end user equipment. So, a demonstration or test where they don't talk to each other, that's their instruction. That would not have been required to be noticed. Because it was referenced and it was an internal test. It was carried out administratively. Now, Mr. Carmody, in response to the questions I had, the only real legal takeaway that I took from him as being significant was, well, we expected that we would have gotten a notice about that test being undertaken. That we should have gotten a notice. We would have expected to get a notice, and then we could have made the inquiries. Well, I don't know that that's a strong argument, but that to me is the really only argument that he has. So you can weigh all that. I can't tell you, you know, how a judge is going to rule on these things. That's absolutely impossible. I can tell you that I believe the county has a strong case, but that's not to a certainty that a judge is going to agree with that. So, I know this was a long way to answer your question, but it seems to me this is boiling down to this. So I thought I would add more of my analysis so it would help guide you in your decision making. Thank you.
Thank you. Commissioners?
Did the group know of all these activities prior to the testing? Or did they show up at a meeting and here's number one, they just got that information at that time?
No, the way it transpired was they decided administratively when they were going to do the test. That criteria, I don't know what to call it, the protocol, I'll call it, to me it's like a protocol. The protocol for the test was then prepared. It was not prepared by the evaluation committee. Okay, if they had gotten together, because I asked that, if the evaluation committee had gotten together and said, okay, well, how are we going to do this test? Well, hey, there's a problem.
That's
there.
A problem.
That's a sunshine problem. I mean, they could have done that if they noticed it, you know, and had everybody present. But that wasn't what occurred. Internally, they decided, okay, here's a protocol that we can use to test this. And then they did the scheduling of the time. And then, of course, the instructions, they were very clear about the instructions. So they had the evaluators present to observe and other people actually testing the equipment.
Okay. But this all occurred in the same day,
yes.
Et cetera? Okay.
Well, they got the protocol the day before the actual conduct of the test. And the time they were supposed to meet in order to perform it. Did I say that correctly?
Yeah, the company.
Okay, they're nodding. They're nodding. Yes.
Company's got the protocol on a Monday, and the testing occurred on Tuesday.
So are we?
Wait a minute. Okay. I didn't know this. The companies.
Evaluation.
Oh. Okay. Right. Okay. Then I
Sorry,
stated
evaluation the committee.
I thought maybe
Sorry.
I had to amend.
I stand corrected.
Yeah.
So
to be clear, just to put a dot on that. No, that protocol that was developed, that was given, or that was the central part of the demonstration and test, was not furnished to Motorola or CI. But let's demystify this test. The test was submerge the device in a bucket of water. And let's pull it out. Does it still work? Let's put it in a real high noise environment. Can you still hear? Let's drop it from a particular height onto the ground, same surface, and let's see how much damage it sustains. These were simulations of things that could happen in the field. You know, it wasn't wiring it up and looking at diagnostic equipment and, you know, performing tests on it. It was actually taking it. A firefighter, I don't know, I know they use firefighters. I don't remember the kinds of people they use, but they just use the people, line staff. You here, take this, do this, drop it, look at it. You know, what are you seeing?
Take
a look at it.
Okay, so we're saying if we hold this back, do we do the exact same test over again? And if somebody scores higher or lower, that then brings up a challenge from what they thought the first time they rated it. You know, I guess I'm just trying to see, you know, if we go further and repeat all these tests with the same people and the same people give it exactly the same rating, then I guess I'm saying, what if somebody says no, instead of a 3, it's a 5 or something like that, and it changes the whole number? Is that going to then cause another conflict?
Well, obviously, if you were to go this route, the county had to be very specific as to how it was going to be conducted. I would recommend that the same protocol be used. That's not to say that a different protocol could not be used, but what the Sunshine Law allows you to do is to redo what it is that somehow didn't meet all the requirements. So it's a redo. So to be ultra conservative, I would redo it the way it was intended to be done, except that you would permit Motorola and CI to be present to observe it. Then they would score. The evaluators would watch that, and they would rescore. I'm suggesting that that technical technical
that protocol is what you said earlier.
No. Technical approach. It would rescore the technical approach. Each of the members of the evaluation team would rescore that, and then that number would be taken and added into all the others and see all the others that were scored and see if it were, you know, what the results of that would be.
And it could have no effect. Let's say equipment does the same or does different. It's part of a technical approach, which is a lot more than just the end user equipment. And if the button is still in a different location than the competitors, that won't change between now and any new publicly noticed meeting. However, again, in abundance of caution, if we have to go through that, we will. But I think to try and say it's going to have a material effect was part of the things I tried to look at to see if there was a flaw that was being questioned, and if we redid it, is there a way it would have a material effect? And their assertion is that it materially biased them. This end user equipment test materially biased the whole process. And I would argue that it did not materially bias the whole process. If there was any kind of bias, hypothetically, for just the end user equipment, it would have been just the end user equipment. But it's not the whole category of evaluation and may not change it at all. And they may have discounted, I don't know, I can't get in the minds of the reviewers, but they could have discounted a broken screen, for example, as just happenstance, meaning that it could have just been easy, the Motorola screen break, and just the way that coin got flipped and it's dropped from a two-story building. So that's where I was discounting some of the argument. But, again, we will do whichever process you would like us to do.
Mr. Sullivan.
My fellow commissioner raised the issues, and that was one of the reasons I asked, you know, yes or no, what are the repercussions? Here's my problem. If we open this up, I know everybody's going to say we can do it exactly the same. I don't think you can for a variety of reasons. The equipment's been sitting around a while. How do we know? Is all the equipment, was it locked in a safe so that we know they wouldn't change the equipment that would be used? But let me go on. But my point is here, that even if we do this test, I don't think it stops CI from continuing to protest. And therefore, I think at some point you got to fish or cut bait on this thing. I don't think I think if we open up the testing again, I think that could lead to additional concerns. So I don't disagree with what my fellow commissioner has said. I just think by opening up, bringing this back up and opening up for additional testing just creates more doubt and will prolong the process.
Mr. Chair.
Mr. McLaughlin.
Thank you. If I may respond to my colleagues here. If there comes out a materially different scoring, that's within our purview. That's within our judgment to judge that. My concern is that a sunshine complaint is not within our judgment to judge. It's not within our purview. It's not lying under our authority. And could different numbers come out? Sure, but that's something that we can wrestle with. A sunshine violation is above our pay grade. And that's my only concern. I'm not one bit concerned with the quality of evaluation that our staff gave. I'm not one bit concerned with the integrity of the individuals that were there. I'm not one bit concerned with how they scored it. I'm marginally concerned with whether or not a scoring would be any different. My only concern, my one and only concern, because everything else falls within our judgment and under our jurisdiction, the only concern I have is getting 6 months down the road and a judge say, go back to square one. That's, if I've been clear with that, Mr. D, that is the concern, to get 6 months down the road and that get put back to square one, having expended funds, having expended effort, and I'll go along with the board. I'm just making the argument so that you know where my mind is on this. My only concern is that the accusation has been made, the probability now exists, and it's above our pay grade. Everything else in this process is well within our purview, well within our capacity and ability to judge and evaluate. I have a high level, like I said, a high level of confidence that the outcome will be similar. These staff members are consistent. There is a criteria from which they test. I think it'll take them a relatively short period of time, and we get to kind of cover up that cloud and move forward without it, in my opinion. Like I said, everything else is in our purview. We can make that judgment. We're the ones sitting here today. We know what's coming back to us. We know why. But, yeah, anyways, that's my concern.
Mr. Chairman, just to follow up on that, that's why we have a staff. That's why we have Mr. Hadid to give us some guidance in this area. If he's willing to give us guidance in that area, that's one thing. If Mr. Hadid is now saying, I have doubt that there was that there could have been a sunshine law violation, then there is doubt. There's enough doubt to probably consider what our fellow commissioners said. So, sorry, but that's...
It appears to me, Mr. Adid, that the county went out of its way to make sure there was not a sunshine violation. And we specified the rules. Here are your rules. What proof is there that there was a sunshine violation? I didn't see any in either their comment or your comment. I didn't see any proof that there was one. So what is CI basing their charge on, their accusation, if you will?
Their argument is that this was a part of the evaluation committee process, and it should have been, without anybody requesting it, it should have been conducted in the sunshine. That even though it had the function of a demonstration or a test, the fact is that they got together, it was a step in the process, should have been advertised. Then their alternative is they may have intended it not to be in the, assume that it wasn't required to be noticed. Okay, so he's got an argument, it should have been noticed, but let's assume that it didn't have to be. It evolved into a situation where they then had to have it noticed because they interacted with each other. That's his argument. And his argument, and his argument in rebuttal to, well, gee, you could have asked about it. Well, we didn't ask about it because we figured we would have gotten the notice.
So
if I hear you right, then the only way out of this, and I'm going to say mess, is to very unnecessarily redo the testing. I don't think it's necessary to redo it, but we have to redo it in order to prevent CI from accusing us once again of violating the sunshine law.
Well, it doesn't prevent them, Mr. Chair. It just covers up should we end up in that situation.
Yeah, so we're going to cover our ass by doing the testing again, which seems ridiculous to me, just to prevent them from taking us to court.
Well, it doesn't prevent them from taking us. It doesn't prevent them from making the charge. What, Mr. Chair, all I'm saying is what it does is it shows the court, should we end up there, that we made every effort, even in the face of urgency. We said, okay, put the brakes on, let's go back, cross that T, dot that I.
And I understand that, just seems ridiculous. It seems ridiculous we have to do that.
But once somebody makes an accusation, you have to respond to it. That's my take. Now, if the board doesn't want to do that.
I understand that. I understand that. I just think it's ludicrous that we'd be forced to spend more money, redo a test that was a valid test, redo it again, just to prevent somebody from suing us. But if that's what we need to do, if that's our, well, then let's do that.
I think Mr. It's a question of how conservative you want to be in insulating the contract from challenge.
And the only thing I see that is a challenge is a sunshine violation. I don't.
That's my only.
I don't see anything else in there. I think it was won fair and square by Motorola. So. Okay. Any other comments, Mr. Hardin?
No, sir, unless the commission has any
Mr. questions. Mr. O'Brien, did you have something you want to say? I'm sorry. I saw you. Yeah, okay. Mr. Goff, anything else?
No, I'm kind of holding off and making a motion to see which way the board wants
any comments.
No more comments.
If you leave the motion to me, gentlemen, I'm going to move that we postpone for till Friday and allow staff to remove this. I mean, to redo this, not remove. Unless there's another motion.
Do we need to, if we redo this test, do we need to notice it?
Yes.
Officially notice it? And then how fast can we do the test?
We would probably advertise the testing to actually occur on Friday, unfortunately, because staffing issues. And we'd advertise to follow the way we did it before. We would do probably each individually, but we'll issue a protocol. And then we would bring it back to you. Probably the committee would need to meet probably right after the testing is what we would schedule.
Okay.
And that would be part of an open meeting, and then we would schedule you again for the following Monday to again go through this final.
So if we notice it, then all these five evaluators, then if we notice it, then they can all be there.
We will not have them interact. We will still
right,
the testing is just
but
observed.
If you notice it, they can interact, can't they?
We will have them interact at the meeting following. We will have a special meeting after. We will have a meeting for the testing, and then we'll have a meeting immediately following to weigh in and discuss it.
But if you notice it, if we notice this thing and we say we're going to do this, officially we're going to do this, then it'd be just like us meeting. They can discuss all they want.
It'd
right?
be non-prohibitive.
Non-prohibitive. You are correct. But in order, in an attempt to follow basically the same process we did.
Sure. That's what I would recommend.
We would probably guide them.
I just want to make sure that.
Until they met after.
Yes, sir. And I understand, Mr. Chair, it's a little frustrating when someone accuses of something you're not guilty of, but you have to deal with it, and I get that thoroughly. And
it feels like guilty unless proven innocent. You know?
Well,
Mr. Chair, I do have a couple questions for Mr. Hadid that I'd like to ask.
Yes, go ahead.
I'm unclear as to what the worst-case scenario is. If we move forward with the acceptance of the administrator's recommendation and his findings, and we seek to sign the contract with Motorola, and this challenge comes down about sunshine violation, what's the worst case scenario? What can we expect? I'm unclear. Is it stop the process, redo it? Is it a fine? You know, what are the cures?
Okay, if the board were to approve Mr. Coffey's report, all of the findings of his report, and they were to file a challenge based on the Sunshine Law, the law provides that that kind of case is to be accelerated on the docket. It's one of the very few cases that are called out in the civil court to accelerate. So that would be accelerated. They would present their arguments. We would present ours. Motorola would probably intervene in the case, and it would be an argument about whether the Sunshine Law applied. If the court ruled that that demonstration slash testing was held in violation of the law, then the judge has to formulate a remedy. The judge has to decide whether we can redo that particular element or whether there has to be something more focused on undoing the contract and having the process start again.
Anything else from Mr. Carmody?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, for calling me to the dais here. To be clear, we are not holding up a bayonet of a Sunshine Law violation here. I want to be 100%. I see some emotions. I don't mean to put that on any of y'all, but I see some emotions. We wanted to put it to your attention and make clear that we had concerns. If you were at the meeting of the evaluation committee when they scored these, one evaluator made it clear it was neck and neck until that testing. On all the other stuff, neck and neck until that testing, where it wasn't, the procedure wasn't followed, but we don't believe it's a technicality, to be clear. We are concerned because, again, if you two just randomly bumped into each other and then started talking about business, that was the point. It was not noticed. That's a Sunshine Law violation. I'm saying you do that, obviously. But that's the same thing that happened here. It wasn't noticed. No one was given an opportunity. And on top of that, they didn't even follow the protocol that they put out, which we believe, as one evaluator said, it was neck and neck. It made a difference how they did that test. These are sensitive. Both materials are sensitive. That being said, I want to be 100% clear on the record for you all. You are not on the bayonet of a Sunshine violation. We don't have a complaint drafted up. We're not waiting for you to rule against us and go in there. We haven't even decided what we're going to do. We've exercised our rights, as a couple of you have mentioned, to challenge the process. We think all of our points are valid. We didn't throw any just, you know, minor points in there. We think they're all valid. But I want to be clear. I don't want anyone to feel at the end of a bayonet. We have to do this, or these guys are going to march to the courthouse tomorrow or later today. We haven't even decided what we want to do on this. Obviously, we exercised our rights to be here and make a challenge, but we're making it clear to you that's a concern to us. That was a flaw in the process as we view it. And while you may view it as minor, that's your decision, we absolutely viewed it as a flaw in the process, and we think that flaw cascaded into ultimate decision against us. So we want to make it clear. You are not on the end of a bayonet. There has been no decision made. If anything, after all these comments, I think you can see where we don't want to go right now, because we're not in the mood of making any of you upset, much less cook this such that staff is, well, forget these guys. So just, we want to be 100% clear. Thank you for letting me come to the dais to say that. No one's on the end of a bayonet here. I think I've said that nine times.
Wait a second. Don't go away.
Okay.
Because you've just, you know, scared the bejeebus out of me. 100% would not have a bayonet or a gun to our heads. But certainly you haven't made up your mind what you're going to do, so we can't sit here with any level of confidence to not think that you're not going to...
I'm telling you right now.
I'm going to stop the conversation with us, because I think you're digging a hole too deep for yourself here. At least with me, I don't know the rest of the board, but you just... And I'd stop talking if I were you.
They want me to say up here that they're not going to see you. I'm trying, as their lawyer, not to say that, because I want them to reserve
their
right.
I want you to say. You're not going to sue us over the... Sunshine.
Your attorney, I advised them not to, but they've made it clear they want me to tell you we're not going to sue here today, and that was never our point to put you at the end of a bayonet. Put that on the record for you.
Mr. McLaughlin.
I got to take a minute.
That's tough.
My advisors would always tell me, count to ten, Nate, count to ten.
Do we run into a problem here now that all of the raters have given their numbers, et cetera? They've probably talked about their ratings with other people that are on that group. Is this now a conflict?
So they were certainly within their right to do that once the...
Right. I know it is, but now they're going to see the same thing, and if they
rate anything other than what they did before.
You know, that's why I'm saying this is kind of a cover your ass thing if we have to do it. So just to make sure everything's safe.
Especially with what he's saying now.
After conferring with the attorney, you have something to say, Mr. O'Donnell?
I just wanted to do something, take a walk, count to 10. I am very concerned, and in abundance of caution, I'm going to make a motion that we redo that testing and that we reconvene for a special meeting. Next Monday, we have a meeting scheduled anyways for strategic planning. We could do a special meeting right after that. So my motion is to have the retesting done, notified, everybody invited. Let's cross the T and dot the I. That's my motion.
Mr. Jackson.
I would wait for a second before we...
Did you make a motion? I'm sorry.
I made a motion. I need a second.
That was a motion. Guys.
I'd rather hear the other side.
Well, how about
we got a motion. It'll die if we don't second it.
Okay. Motion has been made and has not been seconded.
Motion dies.
Motion dies. Mr. Jackson.
Just very briefly, I appreciate the opportunity. With respect to the, I think some of the discussion came up about the difficulties of redoing the test, but with respect to the specific allegation, and I'm not a judge, and I think Mr. Deed said he's not a judge, and to Commissioner McLaughlin's point, the case law, though, that was cited to, those are situations where the evaluators went back and had discussions. They talked about it. In some cases, they threw other vendors out. They made a decision about which one was compliant, which one wasn't. This is not that type of meeting. This was people standing around watching a test. It's not subject to the sunshine. It was not a sunshine violation. The case law that they cite to are specific examples of things that are completely opposite of what happened here. It just simply is not a sunshine law violation. I think that goes to Mr. D's point, is that they simply came around and watched. If they sat around and then said, yeah, that radio, we need to get rid of that one, that's, okay, now you got a problem. But they didn't do that. They sat there and they watched. And I think if you watch the videos, it's pretty clear you can't replicate those. You can't stop the fact that they talk to each other. It is what it is at this point, and they scored it. So that's the only point we want to make, is that from a legal standpoint, again, I realize, well, who pays me to be here? So you have to take that with a grain of salt. But as a sunshine law violation, this meeting does not qualify. It is not covered by the sunshine law. And that's all I'd like to say. Thank you.
Thank you. Anything else on the board?
I'd like to make a motion.
Mr. Sullivan.
Make a motion that the board upholds the administrator's findings and authorizes the chair to execute the contract as approved to form by the county attorney and approved by the county administrator.
Second.
Been moved and seconded to approve the county manager's recommendation. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed say nay.
Mr. Chair.
Yes, Mr. Buck.
I'm gonna give you my vote, but I'm gonna say this, that I think that we need to take these kind of accusations seriously. This is coming from a serious corporation, it's coming from a serious individual, a man who's an attorney by trade. But if this is the direction the board wants to go, I'm gonna have to vote nay, because I think we should have went the other way. Sorry.
Very well. The motion passes 4-1 with Mr. McLaughlin dissenting.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
We're adjourned.
Reconvene the meeting and see if there's anybody that has public comment.
I'm sorry. I'll reconvene the meeting. Wait a second. Are we on up there?
We aren't. No,
okay,
wait a minute.
On.
Wait a minute. We're not on.
Good.
For the record, we should note that no one has left the premises.
Did he give us thumbs up?
No.
Are we good? Okay, we're reconvening the meeting. But note for the record that everyone is still here. Nobody has left. Open to public comment. Sir, please state your name.
Good afternoon, Chair. My name is Bob Stork. I am the CEO of Communications International.
Sir.
There was never any intent to take the Sunshine Law and force your hand. That isn't what it was about. It was showing that the rest of the process was tainted. That's what it's about. We're not here to say, oh, we're going to take you to court over Sunshine because of that. It's this other stuff. I called the sheriff 2 days before this RFP went out and said, I can't talk to you anymore until this is done. He knew. He knew what was being done. It isn't like they said that, hey, he didn't know about it, therefore that's why he accepted that. The sheriff knew. He and I are friends. Guys, it isn't like they're saying. We did not violate it. The paragraph that has three sentences in it that says, you can't contact anybody. You can't contact anybody. The sentence before that ends with, regarding this RFP. That's what it's about, and it should be. You shouldn't talk to anybody about that RFP. I will guarantee you we didn't. And I'll guarantee you that we talked more than 40 times to your people throughout this thing, not about that RFP. That's a consideration you guys are forgetting. You're not considering that you're saying, well, they contacted him, that's done. That really is a big question. We're being accused of quitting, so we're disqualified. That other issue about our competitor using the waiver process, we weren't allowed to do that. Of course we're going to be a lower design because we weren't allowed to use it. It said clearly in there, you can't use a waiver to make your design. They did. Guys, we would be up there in the 90s if we could use a waiver. Your RFP prohibited us from doing that. Please consider those two items. That's really what this is about, not the sunshine thing. That was just another thing to say, hey, they were discussing it. So that's where I said, I'm sorry to have bothered you after all that, but please consider those two items. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Stork.
Before you call somebody else, I just want to make sure that the gentleman understands that Mr. Coffey's determination did not say that they had discussed the RFP, that the sheriff and representatives of CI, that was not Mr. Coffey's point.
Yeah, I didn't mean to impugn anybody. It's just the letter of the law. I view both the sheriff and CI as very reputable, and I don't believe anything inappropriate happened.
No, and that came across clear. I don't think that was an issue. Well, at least not my mind. Anybody else wish to address? Please state your name.
Yes, sir, Mr. Chair. My name is Henry Erford. I'm with Communications International.
Yes, sir.
Thank you for your time today. I know this is very difficult. Things that have been brought up during this whole affair are very serious to us. We are not a gargantuan corporation. We are a Florida corporation, employee-owned, matter of fact. Our 160 people live and work here every day. So when we go through the process and we look at these exhaustive types of very technical things, it's what we have to do to follow the wishes in an RFP. And these are done by consultants, they're done by staff, and we do everything in our power to make sure we follow it exactly. So when we see things that say shall or must, we follow those because those are the wishes. We're not going to doubt whatever the other person, the reason behind it, because we don't have thousands of people to rely on to fight, go to court, do things like that. That was never an intent. I saw the frustration on your faces, and I'm very sorry about that. But these are people that affect us locally. These are families and children and employees that live here, work here. So we don't disappear somewhere else. This is it. So that's why we fight hard. We believe in our business. And quite frankly, we only do government work. We believe in you. We believe in the sheriff's department and the police department. I came from a law enforcement and fire background. So that's the reason why we fight for these things, because we believe so much in it. And that's it. I appreciate your time. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.
Anybody else wish to address the commission? Commissioners, any comment, further comment?
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
We're adjourned.